son, you knew what it was to respond to me by your heart level. But you didn't really trust me to use your mind. I've given you a good mind. And I'm not ashamed of your brain. And you haven't learned to trust me in terms of thinking my thoughts through your mind. So I'm closing you out in your heart level a little bit in order to get you to respond to me on the level of the mind. And it's just beautiful how the Lord is able to give me such good sense. I don't know whether you've noticed that or not. You know? So if you break in at the heart level and that's your natural response, you'll find him beginning to work with you in terms of the mind. If you're an egghead, you know, just an intellectual, you're not too smart for God. Really, you're not a threat to the mind of Jesus. He's able to, you know, take care of you. And so he'll come in at that great intellectual level, but then he'll not stop there. He'll move on to the heart level. He'll get into the will. I used to hear Star Daly say, one of the greatest expressions of love is at the will level. Will, God's will. The angels sang that song, peace to earth, to men who will, God's will. And I think, Star, you're right back in the flesh. You know, under the will. And Star was just talking about something I hadn't experienced, that's all. And then the Lord began to let me realize to live in the Spirit is also to give you the will of God. Often Jesus said to people and says to us, what wilt thou? And some things don't happen, not because God doesn't want them to happen, not because they're not in God's plan and purpose, but because you won't will them, you old lazy thing. Learn to will with God. You know, we grew up thinking somehow if we really desired it, if we really willed it, that was a good sign we shouldn't have it. Did you ever feel that way? The very fact that you willed it meant that God didn't want you to have it. And you were really, literally afraid to throw yourself in an abandonment on God's will. Did you ever hear anybody saying as you grew up, God's will be done in my life. Hallelujah. I never did. When they talked about God's will, they said, not my will, but thine be done. And I'd think, has it come to that? That the worst tragedy in the world would be to will God's will. Live at God on the will level. I was afraid of the will of God. And he knows I was. I really felt God's will was something much less than anything I could ever think. Not better. And I used to hear little old Rufus Mosley pray. And he quite often he'd say, Lord Jesus, this is the very highest I see. And I'm asking for it on the basis of being the highest I see. But if you have something better, I'll take that. And, you know, I began to hear little old Rufus say that, and I thought, he's a nut. Doesn't he know God's will is not better than what he sees? And somehow we grow up that way. But as we get in the Spirit, we discover God's will is exactly what we would choose for ourselves if we had sense enough to know it. And so the Holy Spirit not only wants to teach us to live in union with Jesus, spirit to spirit, mind to mind, but will to will. And we begin to discover the will of God. And as you discover the will of God, you hold it. You just exercise that will. That's where you really become persistent. That's where you refuse to take no for an answer. When you are living in union with God on the will level. Oh, my goodness. So many things are jumping at me this morning. But you see, this is in terms of prayer. There are some prayers that you, the only thing the Lord wants you to do is to make the request and relinquish it in, you know, just in thanksgiving. Lord, I ask you for that. I thank you for it. I know the answer's on the way. Boy, that's all there is to it. There are some prayers, that's all there is. Some prayers, all you need to do is praise the Lord. That's all. Just praise him. Boy, and it's accomplished. But there are some prayers where you are given by the Holy Spirit to know the will of God. And you know it in your will. And Jesus says, now hold it with me. And you stand right there. You don't have to say anything. You don't have to ask anything. You simply live at the will level. I refuse to take no for an answer. And boy, the battles of evil start on you. You begin to see the enemy because he's full of wrath when he sees his days are shortened. And when the people of God begin to will one with God, the enemy's days are shortened. God is waiting for us to learn to wield one with him. It's what wilt thou. And we wield one with God. In the will, we refuse to take anything else than God's best. And we hold that line. I'm willing this. And I'm willing it in the name of Jesus. I'm willing it for the will of God. And boy, you begin to get reactions. You just hold steady. You're not asked to relinquish. You're not even asked to ask anything. You're not asked to praise anything. You're just asked to hold. To stand. Having done all, I stand. That's living with God in the will level. And as you live in that will, from the level of the will, you break through. You discover that God's will is the toughest thing going. Nothing can wear it out. Nothing can break it down. Talking about being strong-willed. Man, that's the God of the universe. What a strong will. You know? Now, at the time where it needs to bend, it's very amendable. He's able to bend, but not break. You can bend God's will, but not break it. God's will is unbreakable. And as we live in the will of God, we discover that kind of relationship in union with Jesus by the Spirit. As he begins to live in the all of us, mind of mind, thinking our thoughts, Spirit of Spirit transmitting through us, will of our will, willing through us. And as we begin to live in that relationship, we discern by God's grace as we grow that we're not running around trying to differentiate on the level of birth, on the level of the inner life. We're not paying so much attention to try to separate the wheat from the chaff. See, we made a great mistake a lot of times in trying to do the separation at the sowing level or trying to do the separation at the inner germination level. Where did Jesus say the separation would take place? At the harvest level. See, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he comes within me as the pure seed, undefiled, incorruptible, fades not away, he is righteousness itself. He's not unrighteousness. He is perfect wholeness. And he's that in me. Consequently, that which is born of God sins not. That's what his word teaches. I'm not in sin. I'm in Jesus. But there's something about the old me that's akin to that which needs to be redeemed. There's still some temper problems that laying around me. I can't blame all of that on Jesus. There's still a lot of carnality hanging around. Would love to get a hold of me, and I court it once in a while. I can't blame that on Jesus. But if I get down within me and say, well, Lord, I just can't preach this morning because last week I lost my temper. And I'm sorry, Lord. You'll just have to get somebody else. I can't preach. I'd never do anything. I'd never pray. I'd never preach. I wouldn't read the word anymore. I'd just get identified to my temper tantrum and going back into sin. But the Lord doesn't stand up here and say, Tommy, I'm not going to let you stand up here and talk about me and my kingdom because you lost your temper. I knew you had that in you when I came to live within you. I knew that about you. You didn't hide it from me. And I'm your righteousness. And I'm your righteousness today as much as I was last week. So now you just identify with me. And I'm going to not only forgive you and help practice to forgive you, but I'm going to take that temper and transform it. And so that I'm going to make out of it a steadfastness to me. I wouldn't give you, a plug penny for a person that didn't have some temper. My goodness. What's wrong with temper when it's turned into the will of God? You know? And just hail that. And so the Lord Jesus Christ says, all right, now you just yield that to me and you honor me, and in the harvest, I'll separate the negative from the positive and let the positive come forth in bearing fruit in a divine persistence. I'll give you a tenaciousness. I'll make you like Helen Richardson in that regard. There's Helen and Sherm. Wave at me, Helen and Sherm. Helen and Sherm from Michigan. Sherm is a Methodist preacher, and I've been knowing and loving them for years. And I began to know them. Man, the Lord was just breaking in on them in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Gifts of the Spirit began to break in. You know, this was 25 years ago. And there wasn't cricket in the Methodist church for a Methodist preacher to have gifts of the Spirit. You know, it's all right to pray if God doesn't answer your prayer. It's when God starts answering, you get into trouble. And so here were Helen and Sherm, and boy, the Lord would move, and they would just begin to accept. And I noticed in particular in Helen, man, that persistence. Man, when the Lord gave her something, I don't care who said what about it, it was of the Lord, and she persisted through. And so many years ago, she began to get to dream. God showed her and gave her a vision concerning this ministry they were to have through a place. Gave her the name for the place, Hidden Springs. Is that the name of it? Hidden Springs. Gave her the name for it and all of that. Gave her a blueprint of it in her mind. And boy, you just couldn't do it. She didn't have any money. Sherman wasn't that. He wasn't the first church preacher. And they didn't have that kind of money to put several thousands of dollars into a place and into a building and support it, you know, and sustain it and all that. What do you do when you're living with a dream from God and the world around you wants to dry up on you? Well, you discover that God makes streams in the desert, and he makes a way where there is no way. That's what you do. And so old Helen and Sherm just buckled up their will in God and said, all right, Lord, you said it. We believe it. We refuse to take no for an answer. If they'd given in and didn't know the will of God in terms of power, the people around them would have beaten them down many, many times, and they'd never known what the Lord had for them. But they persisted. They refused to take no for an answer. They didn't say, if it be thy will, just any old thing you want to do. That's a namby-pamby way to pray. Now, if you don't know God's will, go ahead and surrender and stay on your knees and say, Lord, don't know what your will is. Help me to know your will. But once God has let you know what his will is, don't say, if it be thy will. My goodness. Say, darling, will you give me a kiss? Well, if you want to. No, thank you. You know, I want that, you know, that reciprocal response. That's what God wants out of you. Are you willing to accept my will? Well, Lord, if you want to, no, thank you. What about this? Yes, Lord, that hits me just right. Hallelujah. I'll take it, and I'll hold it, and I'll live with it, and I'll win it. And so the Lord began to work. And I don't know how many, $100,000 the Lord's put in that place, Helen, in land and buildings too. But that's pretty good for Methodist preaching, you know? And being sustained and sent people in there to minister, continuing the sin, and sending young people, middle-aged people, old people in there to be ministered unto. It's just beautiful because one precious couple knew what it was to break in and settle in their hearts, living within the kingdom in God's will. I will one with you, Jesus, because for me to me to live is Christ. Now, Jesus wants us to know this. He identifies with us, gives himself to us, and he doesn't want us just waste his time and ours in trying to differentiate so much on the conception level. See, go ahead. If you settle the fact, do you belong to Jesus? Yes, I do. All right. Are you really yielded to him? Yes, I am. Now, if there's rebellion in your heart, he'll show you that. But you know when you're right with the Lord. All right, if you're right with the Lord and you're moving with the Lord, pay attention. Pay attention to the desires of your heart. Pay attention to the thoughts of your mind. And then start following through as much as you can in terms of obedience to that which he gives you. And you'll find that as you move from one step to another, there'll be a continuous purification. The outward shell will fall away at the right time. But don't try to get the shell to fall away before that inner life has germinated. See, that shell, that outward shell, really protects the germinating power of the seed. And it's that way with our outward man. Our outward world, our outward man really serves as a shell to the hidden. And as you begin to get the hidden place of God revealed to you, you follow through and bring it up into the outward. And in the sharing, and in the ministry, and in the obedience, that which is not of the Lord will fall away. And that's where we need one another. That's why we need to love one another enough to make suggestions. Tommy, I really believe in you. I believe you're of the Lord. But I noticed such and such a thing that I believe if you do it another way, you might reveal more of the Lord. Well, why wouldn't I take that? Of course I would. See, and so I've learned through that to let some of the outward fall away. But sometimes you don't have to say it through the Word. Sometimes you can do it by the Spirit. Don't you learn to do that? Over and over again, when I sit in the congregation and I sit to the ministry of the Lord, and I'll pick up that reaction, I'll pick up that reaction, I'll pick up that reaction. You know what? I just sit there and say, all right, Jesus, I'll let my spirit be the loom on which you'll weave these fabrics. And so I just sit right in the congregation, and I'll pick up that resistance, I'll pick up that reaction, I'll bring them right into Calvary, you know, right in my own heart. And I just sit there and just completely take control in Jesus of all of these various reactions, and by the Spirit, just bring them into harmony. Didn't you know you could do that in your spirit? Haven't you learned to do that? I hope you have. And if you learn to do that by the Spirit, you don't have to fight the outward battles. You see, our warfare is spiritual. Our weapons are spiritual and not carnal. So we learn to live in the Spirit as we live in union with Jesus. Any questions?
If someone comes and says, God told me to tell
you. Yes. Tick says, if God comes to you and says, God.
Yeah.
All right. Someone comes to you and says, God told me to tell you. How do you react? I listen to what they're saying, and I thank them for it, but I don't act on it. because they said it. I go before the Lord and say, Lord, all right, I receive that person in your name. I receive that message in your name. Now, what do you want me to do about it? And I get my direction from the Lord directly. You see, it's this way with prophecy. For instance, we are not to be guided by prophecy. A lot of people have made this mistake, Brother Tick, and I thank God for bringing that question up. I met some people that get so caught up in this kind of ministry that they don't even want to get a drink of water until someone says, thus saith the Lord, thou shalt get a drink of water. Yes. And I want to throw this out. There's a lot, you see, today when the Holy Spirit is moving in such a beautiful way and bringing such a diverse expression of the church, real heresy is when we take a partial truth and treat it as if it's total truth. For instance, I'm meeting a lot of these groups that call it shepherd's groups, for instance, you know, where the shepherd is appointed by God and he's sort of giving direction to everybody. He shepherds. And, you know, and sort of taking over and taking control, and you can't do anything until somebody tells you you can. I want to suggest to you there's something that raises the eyebrow at that approach. It's something that denies the individual response. Now, I know the truth of community, but I also know that true community brings out the liberty of individualism and doesn't deny it. And there's a greater price to pay when you know the power of losing your life out of a free will in terms of love rather than coerciveness in terms of just outward discipline. And we're learning this. Now, we in the Protestant world know too little about community. We do know a lot about individualism. Now, the Lord is bringing us into a community, a oneness in the body of Christ, and we make mistakes. And I think one of the mistakes is a overreaction to legalism in terms of outward authority. So if a person stands and prophesies to me with a supernatural gift, I don't obey it simply on the basis of prophecy. I even then take it before the Lord and say, Lord, how do you want to interpret that within me through the Spirit? I'll give you one scripture. There are many other scriptures I could give you. I'll give you one, and we'll move on to something else. The Apostle Paul, oh, Spirit-filled preaching to the Gentiles, you know, bless his heart, was told of God that he was going to Jerusalem and to Rome. And, man, he started toward Jerusalem. And he stopped off at the churches along the way. And, man, they began to tell him, Lord, Paul, you shouldn't go. If you go back to that place that you brought, they're really in for you. And got to one prayer meeting, and there's a prophet named Agabus. And right in the middle of the meeting, old Agabus took Paul, and the King James Version says girdle. I never quite figured out what Paul's girdle was. But anyway, I don't know the clothing of those days. But he took Paul's girdle, the King James said, and girded himself with it, bound himself with it, and said, the man to whom this belongs, if he goes into Jerusalem, will be thus bound. And the church said, you see, Paul, how plainly can Jesus speak? He's telling you not to go. Little old fire-eyed Paul said, shut up. What makes you think I'm not willing not only to be bound, but to be crucified for Jesus? He's told me I'm going to Jerusalem, and I'm going, so hush. Now, you see, prophecy didn't guide Paul. Prophecy gave light on the guidance. Through the prophetic word, he learned what it was he could expect along the way, but he didn't determine his guidance by it. So when somebody comes to me and says, the Lord told me to tell you, I say, thank you. And then go to the hidden place with it and get the word of God and let the Lord begin to teach me whatever he wants to teach me through it. Thank you for bringing that out, Dick. Our time is up. I thank you for letting me just ramble with you this morning. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Lord Jesus, we love this day you've made. And Lord, we've come to learn of you. You said, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. And Lord, you said you were the truth. And that means he guides us into the all of you. Glory to God. Jesus, you've got depths in you we haven't explored yet. And we just thank you that we can give ourselves in such a way that we can explore deeper depths in you today. And we're ready just to continue to move under the inspiration of the Spirit. And we thank you for it, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen.